I thought you were going to put the thing up, Danny, with like the banner that we had originally and the dodgy G.
Hold on. No? Yeah, I'll go and get it.
Professional
still,
stuff.
This is the intro music. Because I still haven't...
Back in Wonderland.
No, it's not. We're not a Back in Wonderland.
Back in Bollocks.
Yeah, it's not an Arsenal
podcast.
That's
what you had... Well, no, but that's what you had at the
there
top.
We go.
See? It literally says Burkamp Wonderland talking bollocks. Oh, you sorted the G out. Well played. G was dodge.
Yeah, it's annoying me. Well, there you go. You can start the show now.
Whoop. Yes. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to a Burkamp Wonderland. Well, actually, not really, though.
Oh, it is a Burkamp. It's not an Arsenal podcast, is what I should have said.
Right, okay, okay. So welcome to a Burkamp Wonderland, not an Arsenal podcast, talking bollocks with Danny.
Yep.
And we're just going to be talking about anything and everything that anybody wants to discuss, or maybe that we have chosen to discuss. It's more of a laid back version of the post game interviews that me and Danny do, where we stringently break everything down, get all the numbers completely wrong, moan about the refs, but enjoy the overall football that Arsenal and Arteta has to offer. But yeah, if anybody's in the chats, good evening, good evening, good evening. Oi, oi, Tom Andrew, hello, hello, hello. So we're just going to be talking about anything. If you have any questions or any topics that you want to discuss, anything that's going on in your life, or that you feel like you want to get our two pence on the situation, you can talk to us in the chat. It's very easy.
I was thinking of going to one of those chat GPT GPT things and saying, give us subjects for a podcast.
I'm guessing you didn't do it then.
No, I didn't. I only just remembered to do it. I'm dealing with a severe illness. People all around the world are dying, and I've just got a dodgy belly. I can't have a dodgy belly that needs rubbing, and then still be expected to remember stuff.
That's fair enough. That's more than fair enough.
Good.
We're going to be discussing a few things. We've got a few snapshots of things that we want to discuss. We'll get into those. As I said, Tom Andrew. Oi, oi. Good evening, good evening, good evening. As the numbers slowly start to rise, because this is a completely unpredictable, untimed, unplanned podcast where the last 4 days in a row we tried to do it, but it didn't come to fruition.
Go through the days. What happened?
Friday. Friday first.
Oh, dude, yes, to start from, you work backwards from yesterday. That's easy to remember.
Yeah, sure. Yesterday, you weren't feeling very well.
Yeah.
The day before, I don't think
it was me again.
Oh, was it you again? Oh, you got the timings wrong, and I couldn't stay too up too late because I had work and stuff.
Anna wasn't feeling too good.
That's it. And then on Friday, when I was actually feeling good. Yeah, I wasn't feeling very well. So it was.
And then before that, again, it was my fault for not feeling well.
It was a bit of. Yes, you're right. It is 5 days in a row that we've tried to do this. Yeah. So. But we, you know, better late than never, Danny. Better late than never. Here we are.
That's debatable. Probably better never than never.
sure. But we've got some interesting topics that we can talk about today. Yeah. Stuff that we generally wouldn't maybe discuss on a regular Arsenal podcast. Oh, sorry, Danny, you go do the thing. On a regular podcast, whether that be a Burkamp Wonderland podcast, regular or a post game or a pre game. We want to talk about many things. And also, I'm going to sneak a little bit of Arsenal stuff in there as well. Because, you know, there's lots to discuss. There's lots to discuss. And I want to use this opportunity to have a conversation about it. Because we're having such a long break in between football. We've still got, like, what, 6 days until Arsenal playing football again? It's crazy.
Eternity.
It's crazy. It's been such a long time since we've watched Arsenal play football that I'm actually just sort of going, I really want to just talk about the Arsenal. So there's a few topics that we can talk about today. All right, Danny?
Yeah, quite a few. We've got some little things. Oh, there's Tom says, has the nerves kicked in yet? I'm feeling confident for some reason. That's the final run of 10 league games to go. I think I might make plans for that and get some people on. A couple of shows back to back. On consecutive days of like five of us on one, five on another. If anyone turns up, just talking about the run of 10 games and what people's predictions are for those 10 games. And there's Hente. I've just been talking to him on the Twitter, showing him where I live in the wonderful place of God Manchester. He thought I lived in the Midlands. giving me the shudders. That's, that living in the fucking Midlands.
That's where I live, Danny. That's where I live. It's always windy and rainy here, and people can't drive.
Shell went to Birmingham last week. She went, I have never been to such an absolute fucking shithole that is Birmingham.
Oh, what Birmingham's bad. Birmingham's really bad.
And I thought Milton Keynes was bad.
No, Birmingham's bad. A special place. You drive... I went there a month ago, or maybe a little bit longer, and I remember saying to myself, it's like Birmingham got hit by a zombie apocalypse, just like an internal one, and they've never really come back from it. And they're kind of just getting on with things.
For people not in the UK, you know, like in America, you've got 50 states, or 49. 50,
you're going to say 52.
Yeah, there's 52 cards in the pack, isn't there? Weeks in the so they've got 50 states. You've got 49 mainland and Hawaii. And like in this country, we have individual shires. Like I live in Cambridgeshire and you live in Derbyshire, do you?
That's correct. So you've
got between us, you have got Lincolnshire. And there's loads of more around the country, and like that's your individual shires, then have individual parishes. Like my one is called Huntingdonshire inside Cambridgeshire. And Birmingham, as an area, have actually gone bankrupt. It's called a council. Everyone knows what that means. The council has gone bankrupt. There's no bin collections. You can imagine what there have been no bin collections for what? 3, 4, 5 months, something like that. Birmingham's a shithole at the best of times, but when you don't have your bins collected and people are leaving fucking shitty nappies and old bags of food for the rats, even the rats are moving.
It's bad. Hilarious. It's a bad place. It's a really, really bad place. Very, very, very bad.
Cheers, Hente. Brady says, is Deacon hungover or feeling a little John Belushi-ish?
It's been a long day. And when I put the big light on, it gets very bright. So I've just decided to put it's more of a chilled out version of a podcast. It's not to be taken too seriously.
Why are the lights though? Who's forcing you to have lights on?
Well, the camera. If I don't have the lights on for the camera, the quality's not as good. Oh. So I'm doing it for you guys. I'm only turning this on for you guys, not for me. When I say it's for you guys, you're seeing my face in greater detail. I don't know.
See, with my one, I just go echo, desk light white. And then, they're only 15 quid a bulb.
It's like you're being summoned.
Desk light red, but I don't like bright light. Bad lights, don't like bad lights.
But I am drinking Brady's banana. I'm drinking a little glass of Bailey's. So.
And I am on the Monster sugar-free. What's this one? This is Energy Original. Ultra.
Oh,
very very nice. Ocado were doing a deal on them, so I've got about 25 boxes of 4 cans on my sitting room table just sitting there. Demsec says, here we go, on a show about bullcocks, are you in cistern net peeps watch? The cistern is the part that contains the bullcock. Very, very poor, Demsec.
Right, okay.
BX says, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Hello, America. Drago's there. Oi, oi. From sunny Bulgaria. Lovely. And Dempsey says, Birmingham is luxury compared to Stoke-on-Trent. It's the fifth most deprived area in the country. Meanwhile, Cambridgeshire is one of the greatest. Thank you. It's lovely. No crime.
It's weird because there's an area below Stoke-on-Trent called Trentham, and it's a beautiful little area.
That happens a lot. You have, like, Luton, we all know, is an absolute fucking shithole. But the village, before you get to Luton, stunning. There's a couple of them around there. I drove to Luton once back in the mid-90s for Dave. He was picking up a Vauxhall Cavalier CDI, like the SRI, but more luxurious. Demsec's asking about my meds. I'm going to save that as a star because that's a little bit in-depth, but we're going to come to that later on. Drago, fuck Stoke. I think you can get around the swear filter, Drago. Come on. Ente says, this is the closest to the Sunday roast, I think. Keep going. Yeah, we brought that back. Mike was he's been busy with a lot of personal stuff, and now he's getting through it. And I've been going through some stuff. It's been just over a year now since my mother decided to go and live with baby Jesus. And things are all right. Super's there. Did I catch a live? Lucky me. Lucky you. All right, Dee, sort of things are we going to talk about?
Eight born the luck part. We've got lots to discuss. Have you got like a list of things? And we'll just go from 1 to 10 or so on and so forth, because we're smart like that.
I'm off the diet today because I was feeling really pooky. Pooky, not well. I don't mean Timo pooky. Got jelly babies. I don't like the green ones or the yellow ones.
I just don't. I'm not a fan of sweets. I just think like they just taste of sugar and I'm just not a fan of it.
Yeah.
Chocolate tastes like chocolate. Biscuit tastes like biscuit. They've really, you know, they've got that nice flavour to it. Whereas sweets, it's just sweet. They all taste the same to me. I'm not a fan.
It is indeed. What a world.
What have we got? What have we got then? So, oh, go on. What have we got?
Russ says hello.
Lads. Hello. Good evening.
We have got. Evening. I have actually good news about my nostrils. I put the buzzer up my nose and got rid of all my nostril hairs. Now I've got prickly inside of my nose. I can't win. My new trainers.
Oh, right. These are your... Oh, yeah, you did send me the picture, actually. Nice. Schnazzy.
I did. They are a limited edition. If I go to my eBay, because they're not a very good picture. Bids. On bids? Wins? Purchases?
Wait. Oh, you're selling these?
No, I bought them.
Oh, you bought... Right. I thought that's what you did.
I only really wear... hold on. That one there. I only really wear... Skechers, because when I'm sitting in my chair, in the electric chair, all the pressure is on my feet, and my feet have historically have been quite sore, and mainly on the ball of your little toe, underneath that ball at the bottom, and I'll get sore feet. And right. At one point it was quite bad, and then I put some stuff on it and it made it worse.
Obviously Skechers have got the padding on it, right? And they're really comfy.
Yes, they've got the Air ones. And
nice.
So I can't find the other ones. Somebody was asking me about them. Maybe it was here. Oh, for fuck's sake. Anyway, they are £179 normally. And someone had a pair and I've had a bloody good look at them. They're sold as used, but there's no signs of wear, even on the bottoms. I got them for 70 quid.
Wow.
Or maybe 60 quid. Might have been 59 quid. So, yeah, and there's ones like that have never been. They're still boxed, 179 quid. And I won't have black laces in them. I will have probably purple or some other extravagant colour, because the black looks too serious. It looks like a bee. I don't want to be mistaken for a bee or a wasp.
Well, they're quite yellow, so you're probably going to get people that are going to get, you're probably going to get bugs interested in it.
You put this in our chat. What's this about AirPods Albert?
Yeah, so guys, there's not much going on with the world of Arsenal. So the news machine, the mainstream media machine is trying to get anything and everything to talk about. So here we are talking about one of our assistant managers, Albert and Slovenberg, and there's rumours about him possibly going to manage Ajax, and he's rejected it due to the fact that he feels like he wants to finish what they've started with Mikel Arteta in North London first. So. Very interesting. Whether this is true or just absolute garbage remains to be seen. But I think it has
media.
That's it. But I think it has a lot to say about how well it's not just Arteta and Eddie doing the business, but the coaching staff at Arsenal has just been revolutionary. You know, so I'm big on the fact that if this has got even just a tiny bit of realism behind it,
hopefully
I think that
not.
Speaks one. Well, no, I mean, but I think it means wonders that. They're also united in trying to get this over this project over the line, and hopefully trying to win something at the end of this year. That'd be really well, end of the season anyway. That'd be quite interesting. I just find it interesting, so I just thought I'd share it.
Yeah, when you first put it in there, I thought, oh, is he the one who left? And I forgot. No, that was another one with a surname I can't properly pronounce. So
I can't remember now. It was
he went. Season. See, can't do it. He left to go and be the head of football at Wolfsburg, and then they got rid of him after a little while. Someone in the chat will know who it is. Apparently, according to this, we've got 200
Steve Round. People. Steve Round, that's it. Well done.
No, it wasn't Steve Round. It's a foreign name.
Oh, okay. But Steve Round also left.
Oh, yeah, they all leave. This says there's 212 watching on Twitter. There's not. I found a better picture of my trainers. There we go. They're the ones I just bought. These are the ones that I wear when I go out. Absolutely stunning.
Love the orange.
And this is my third pair of trainers. I got those.
Nice.
And there you go. I do like trainers.
Sneaky heads, like,
I don't like white ones. Sean usually buys white trainers. And I said, this is the state of the human race. Aliens will come down and go, let me get this right. You put things on your feet, stop your feet getting dirty. Yeah. So when you're walking around the streets in the rain and the mud and all the dirt and all the shit and all the poo, and the things you put on your feet can cost hundreds and hundreds of pounds. Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right, alien. And they're white. Yeah, yeah, they're white. They're white. Yeah. So very after about upsetting. A month, they're dirty. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I used to start buy Sean buying trainers.
If she wants white ones.
Yeah. I remember when I was younger, I used to buy trainers a lot. I used to buy one pair of trainers a month off my tiny little Wade packet when I was like 16.
Oh.
And I used to go to these really, really like undercover sneakerhead places in Covent Garden and buy some really random trainers that like, but my favorite go-to were Air Force's Low Dunks. Loved Low Dunks. Absolutely loved Low Dunks.
Where and are they all
I
now?
Just bought, I have no idea. They're probably all just thrown away. I don't know. It was years ago. But I used to go and get them laced up specifically by somebody. Somebody would specifically lace them up in different ways and stuff like that. So there was like professional like shoelace tires. You do it in snazzy ways. But I always used to get really upset when the first foot mark went on the trainers or something fell on them. It was always a depressing time.
I lace my trainers. I don't think I've got, might have one in random picks. Where is rough of random? Yeah, I sometimes take random pictures of my my trainers in random places, and then for no reason, come on, it's got to be here somewhere. And I have to have my laces done the same way every time. Is this? Have a little looky there. Open that. Let's have a look. Oh yeah, yeah, you can get a look from that. So I'm gonna share this one. I've opened it twice now. That's not at all what I wanted to do. I'm going to get this and then drop it to desktop. There we go. So I've been wearing Air Max Classics since 1986. Mm-hmm. And I've had about 10 pairs. You won't be surprised to hear. They last a long time for me. It's not breaking news. Here are my actual trainers on the sitting room table, and you can see the way they are found, the laces are in. So all the way along, zigzag the right way, right from the bottom. So you put them over, you put them in at the bottom either side, and then you pull them out and then over. So they curl like that all the way up. All my trainers are done like that.
Oh, okay.
And I'll have
but then you have the laces, you have the ends of the laces in tucked in your shoes, right?
Yeah, and then I cut them off and tie them in a little knot.
Oh, okay, because I can't, the sensory overload, I can't have it touching my feet. It drives me mad.
No, it's a tiny little knot so you don't feel it.
Yeah, I can't. I never got it when people did it in school and stuff because I was like, I can't handle the sensation.
Ooh.
Just get overstimulated by it.
Demzek says, I tried a pair of memory foam Skechers. They were very uncomfortable. How dare you, sir? The salesperson tried to sell me inserts to go with them. You need to get the ones that are the air and get the extra wide air ones. Actually, I bought another pair of trainers. They were meant to be 80 quid, and they are on Amazon. We're doing them for 27 quid. So I bought them, black ones, all black. But I've not tried them on size 10, and they're in Sean's. I'm only a size 8 top to bottom and a size 10 left to right, which is not good. Lone Star says, going nowhere, R. Albert.
Yep. So I'm
good. Here we go. It was a spelling mistake. Going nowhere. Good. Yes, Badrago, we simply can't lose AirPod Albert. We can't. He leads the pit crew. He knows what's going on. Albert wants to finish the story.
Yep.
Lone Star, media jibber jabber, international break, fabricated nonsense, as we've seen with the royal family and all that stuff. It's silly. What else we got? Drago says Steve Brown left. No. Oh, Mislintat. There you go. Drago knows Sven Mislintat. That's the bloke I was talking about.
Oh, Sven Mislintat. Oh, okay. Yes. I thought you meant a coach. I didn't know you meant a...
I don't know what job he did.
It was a scout agent, wasn't he? Scout agent.
Dem said, AirPod Albert might... Stop putting the mouse over... I'm going to read it on the big screen. AirPod Albert might not be that bad. Fergie used to change his number 2 regularly. He did. Andreas Jonker. Yeah, that was another one who left. Lone Star says, then start walking and lose tonnage. Well, yes. Drago, Jonker was head of youth development. And Russ says, I always buy my trainers from eBay these days. Got to be careful for fakes, though. I mean, this bloke, I was the only bidder on them. And if they're 179 quid normally, I reckon they wanted a lot more than the 59 quid I paid for them. But apparently they've been posted. So I'll see. Tom says, Dee, could you please pull up the XG philosophy tweet? The XG table looks magnificent. Do we have one?
I will have a look at this right now. I thought I was already following him. I think he released a political tweet and I didn't get involved in it. So I think I unfollowed him because of a political thing. But I will refollow until he posts something political again. I've sent it to you, Danny, in a WhatsApp message. Does that help?
Oh, yeah, I got it. Oh, yeah, I saw this earlier today.
I've not seen this, so I want to see this.
Yes. Read a few more things. Brody's Banana says, Dr. Martens for bad weather, retro vans for good weather, Oxford Brogues for the razzle. There you go. There's a man who likes his razzle. VX is on fire. Nice. Foot Gaming, Danny, have you guys watched Jason Statham's The Beekeeper? Yes, I did watch it, and I thought it was going to be good, and it turned out to be a load of bollocks. It's a standard Statham up, as they're known in the industry.
I've not seen it. I'm partial to a Jason Statham.
Oh yeah,
I'm partial to him.
He did one where he was. It's an action one.
The one where he's trying to get redemption for his dead son.
Yes,
he infiltrates the bad guys.
Eight and a half out of ten. That film.
I thought that was brilliant. That's it. I knew exactly which one you were talking about. Can't remember the name of it. But his son gets shot, right? And he gets his own back on the gang that does it. But he does it in a long-winded way. But it's all very cool. It's all very cool.
It is. But Statham up's boring. And that was boring. It started off really well. He's just living on the farm and he has bees and he has honey. And then the next farm along gets attacked and he goes after him. And you think, oh, my God, here we go. Just very poor.
Yep.
XG against Drago. No, but I have watched the Beekeeper skit by Rowan Atkinson and John Cleese. Highly recommend. Sasuke says Lockstock was the high.
Lockstock and Two Smoking Barrels. Good times.
Have you seen
Baffin's
the
Man? That's what it's called.
Yes. Have you seen the Gentleman?
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I love Guy Ritchie.
So do I.
Okay, I won't. Wonderful. I'm a big fan of Guy Ritchie. I love Kaya Cicada, whatever her name is, because she was Effie in Skins. So I love the main actress in it.
She's very good.
She is, but
the funniest part is when she goes, this was one where you spit on your hand and before you feed the pony.
Nice.
How many people are going to have no idea what she's on about? And quite rightly.
Rightly. I agree. I completely agree. Yeah, Danny, let me know what you think of it when you get to the end of it. I'm indetermined.
Oh, Sean and George have both finished it. George said it was good and it leaves space for a follow-up. Sean said she didn't like the ending.
I did.
I thought it was a cop-out.
I completely agree. I completely agree.
Foot Gaming says, Danny and Deke, did you hear that EA Sports 24, FC 24 have lost 60% of their users? Shows how shit FIFA has become.
I think it's got a lot to do with the fact that they lost their naming rights. So they weren't what? FIFA wasn't allowed to. FIFA didn't they didn't manage to agree in a deal or something like that, and that's why FIFA is now called FC 24.
Yeah, but all FC. The teams got the proper name, stadium name.
Yeah. They've got everything still, so but doesn't it's, matter, it's then? Nah. People have lost faith in the thing is right. It's a bit like Football Manager. Same premise with Football Manager. There's no other real competitors out there to really to push the developers to create an incredible gaming experience. They're kind of allowed to rest on their laurels. And it's pretty much what FIFA have done for many years. And that's what FM have done for many years, because there's no one that really competes with either. Yeah. Okay. You've got pro soccer, but nobody plays that game. Nobody plays that game. Let's be serious. Nobody plays that game. It's always been FIFA and Football Manager, but there's never been anybody that really competes and compares to these two. So they've been able to just kind of flush out these very hollow versions of the previous five titles and just go, oh, we've added a few things here and there. I will also say that I'm not a big fan of all the woman footballer things that have been added to it. It's all very funny. These women that are being rated the same as Neymar and Messi and Ronaldo. And I'm like, these guys have won everything and anything. being compared to that level or better is it's crazy for me. I'm not a big fan of all of that sort of stuff. So it's what you know, football's always been a way of a great form of escapism for me. And when politics are added to stuff like that, there's always been going to be a political agenda about behind all of these sorts of things, and it gets on my tits, if I'm honest with you.
I don't play it. I don't care. Put whatever you want in it.
I haven't played FIFA in years now. I haven't played FIFA.
The last FIFA I played properly was probably FIFA 16, when I played all the foot stuff, and I had, well, who did I have? I think it was, played for England, black bloke up front, played for Liverpool, finished his career early.
No idea.
What was his name? Won a Champions League medal.
Say that again. Who he played for Liverpool? What was it?
He's an England international. Played for Liverpool. Mm-hmm. This is really annoying. Striker, right. English, yeah. Tall. Yeah. There we go. Saski Gunnar, Daniel Sturridge. I had about 25 Daniel Sturridges, and then they brought in the thing where they limited the amount of money that each player could go for. They set the limit for the players, and I had loads of them, and I went. I spent ages building up all.
He was a quality player, Daniel Sturridge. No, injury prone to hell. Injury yep. prone to hell.
But Man City, Liverpool, player. Chelsea.
What a player.
Mm.
Just because we're right Arsenal fans doesn't mean we can't, you know, yeah. see greatness.
You're right with the thing about, Patrick Carlson is there. Afternoon, Patrick from Sweden. About they've got no competitor like Football Manager. Football Manager 23, they have still got the same problems with the columns, adjusting the columns like games played, morale, as they had 10 years ago. If you have all your columns set up, you go have a look at another team, the last thing on your column on the right-hand side will disappear, and then you'll have to re-auto-arrange them all and remove them all again. It's been over a decade, and you still haven't fucking fixed it because you've got no competition.
I've got my
people nuts.
I've got my FM24 review here on Steam.
You did a review?
I did you can put a little review on Steam?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just wrote FM16.8. Always the same.
Yeah. 16 and 8 is 24.
It took me a moment to put my right back on there. I know I'm not very good at maths, but I managed to slowly count up and get that correct. But FM 16 was like the last FM that I enjoyed playing. Really enjoyed playing.
Saski Gunnar says, Guy Ritchie rocks. He does indeed. He's really interesting. The interview of him with Joe Rogan a few years ago. Again, I don't find Joe Rogan overly interesting. He's not funny at all. In fact, he's quite boring. He's not funny, but I like his guests. And Rogan's a bit of an idiot.
I like Rogan.
I'd be friends with him, but like I've got some friends that are idiots. And I'd have to keep fucking telling them what's what. Layer Cake I thought was awful with 007 in it.
I kind of liked it. I kind of like Layer Cake. I thought it was fairly decent.
Demsec says the Gentleman film is very good.
Yes, that is Drago's, very, very good.
Drago, the last decent FIFA game was 15. BX has gone old school, winning 11, which is what it used to be called in Japan. Was also PES when in the rest of the world. Things pack peaked at Sensible Soccer and Pro Eva early 2000s. Sensible Soccer. Good God, I was a god at that game. Oh, Peter Little. I hope this finds you both well. I am 70 this year and find it hard to remember my first playing game at Birmingham. Well, didn't you say that you used to be a professional footballer, Peter? I'm sure you said you were, and we talked about it before. Tell us what teams you played for.
Oh, yeah.
My first Mercedes I bought from a place in Birmingham, and the person who owned it before me was the bloke who holds the record for the most number of games from Aston Villa, and he wrote me a letter saying this was my car, blah, blah, I really am this person, and I only ever used it for travelling from home to Villa Park for the home games. That's the only mileage I ever put on the car. Uh-huh. There you go. If you go and have a look at Wikipedia, you see his name will be there. Foot Gaming, Danny, does Magic Mike Aunt still somehow end up under the... I don't know what that means. That doesn't make sense. Try it again, Foot Gaming. That's mobile phones for you. And I'll sell you a comma for a pound. Brady's Banana, Evo, Sturridge, and Carol. Oh, we've got some more stuff. Russ says they are changing the match engine for FM25, which I won't be buying. I'm perfectly happy with 24. Three.
Robo. No, I'm on 24. I've played 123 hours. That's nothing for me. Nothing.
I think I'm on about 180 on my one. And I'm up to tier 8. 8 consecutive promotions and 12 consecutive promotions, 7 invincibles, and only once did I not come first. That's because I was stupid enough to put my best players in the league games, I mean the cup games, and I ended up losing too many games at the start of the season. Rogan is a clown. Yep, I agree, Danny. Yeah, he's a bit of a moron at times. Have you realised he's gone a bit religious now?
I like him. I like Joe Rogan.
Yeah. But he's been talking about, he's been reading the Bible. Never a good sign. Love Johnson.
I can think of worse things.
Huh?
I can think of worse things.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Love Johansson says, FIFA 01 was the reason I started supporting Arsenal. 6-year-old me didn't know how to change teams. Alphabetically, Arsenal were first, and Henry quickly became my favourite player. But wasn't that the bloke... Austin Trusty, didn't he support Arsenal because it was the first team in FIFA?
Yes, that's a similar story.
Happens quite a similar lot.
Story. I like that story, though. I like that story, Johansson. That's a good story. I like that.
Foot Gaming says, Danny and Deke, it's so difficult to create a following on YouTube. How did Danny Aarons blow up so quickly? Who's Danny Aarons?
No idea.
You've done this twice now, Foot Gaming. I've got no idea who Danny Aarons is.
He's testing you.
Unless it's autocomplete.
But getting a following on any social platform nowadays is extremely difficult. It took me a very long time to build up a social platform on Twitch after streaming for a very, very long time. But it's detrimental to your mental health. Just be prepared. If you do start to build yourself a following, be prepared that you need to see it through. Because a lot of people find it very, very difficult after a certain point, and they start to see it as a job. The moment you start seeing it as a job is ultimately the beginning of the downfall.
Yeah, people. I often see people on their Twitter saying, "Oh, give us a follow. I want to get lots of followers." And I reply to them, "No, you don't want lots of followers. The more followers you have, is the more number of people that are going to tell you you're wrong. The ideal followers number is 0, then no one's going to tell you you're wrong, ever. That's like the ideal way.
Smart.
I mean, I've got 10,000 and I've probably talked to about 20 or 30. That's it. So numbers, meaningless. Henty says, Football Manager on the Commodore 64 for me, released 40 years ago in 1984. I didn't realise you were that old, Henty. I was in 1980... It came out on, I bought it on the Spectrum in 1986. And the day it arrived was the day of my metalwork exam at St. Peter's Secondary School in Huntingdon. I didn't go to the exam and I stayed home and played Football Manager. There you go. That's good why stuff. I've got one less GCSE or O level, whichever it was. I don't fucking know.
Good stuff.
Fat says, Danny, will Sega be make a comeback and will you buy it if they do?
No.
So it's a comeback for what?
As in bringing back a console and stuff? No.
No, I don't do consoles.
Never going to happen. It's never going to happen. They'll just be publishers.
The only way my console gets turned on is when I accidentally touch it when I've got the cupboard door open.
Yeah, no, I can't see that. But the monopoly is too much in favor of PlayStation, way too much in PlayStation's favor.
The amount of money you would have to pump in over a 5-year period to bring out a new console.
Billions. Impossible. Tens of billions, hundreds of billions.
Possibly.
It's pointless. It's completely pointless. That's like trying to release a product that competes with the iPhone, like bringing out a new operating system that doesn't run on Android, but runs on something completely different, and then competing with it and then overtaking it. It's never going to happen. You're always going to have Android and an iPhone operating systems. And it's the same with PlayStation and Xbox. That's going to be the two consoles. And it's not really Switch and Nintendo and stuff. They kind of ride in their own little lane. they've got their own little lane that they like to ride in.
I mean, you look at the Dreamcast, one of the greatest machines of its time.
It's literally over there under my TV, my Dreamcast. It was one of my last Sega console they made, and it's my favorite. Love that thing. Love the Dreamcast. Fantastic piece of machinery.
My one died. The whole thing with the... Hold on, I'm pressing buttons. Go here. The Dreamcast is almost a year to the day that it died from the day it was released. And what a shame that was. I mean, that was magnificent. I've got three Dreamcasts at the moment in the house. So I've got two of mine and one of my brother's that I'm just going to put on eBay if anybody wants a Dreamcast to one careful owner. Very rarely used. Yeah, but you're never going to get to do it. BX just picked up EA 24 for $18, which is about £14. And wow, it's still the current game. I mean, it only came out in, what, September?
Yeah.
Wow. Peter says, Brentford reserves, Reading reserves, Sheffield United reserves, and Stoke reserves, mainly injured, played 5 league games in total and earned more in being transferred than wages until 1975. Our very own Jeff Arsenal. I'm not going to tell you the first club he was at because it's a secret, but the second club he was at was Barnet, and he played games for Barnet in non-league, and then he went on somewhere else and then somewhere else, and then he retired. So our very own Jeff Arsenal was an actual proper pro at a current Premier League club, but they let him go before he played a game. There you go. And it wasn't Arsenal, sadly. Ah, Tom says it was Matt Turner who supports them because they're Arsenal, because they began with
that
May.
Makes sense. That makes
not
sense.
Trust it. Oh, fuck, I was so close. I'm going to have myself a little itch here.
Peter, what was your, what was your favourite moment playing professional football? I mean, I would be intrigued to hear.
It was a weird career, though. Brentford, London, Reading outside of London. Sheffield United is...
all the way up north.
All the way up north. And Stoke is also all the way up north. That's a weird journey. But I suppose you to do that, you would have played hundreds of reserve games. I've got a player at the moment on my ABWFC, Dan Strevens. Stevens, not fucking Strevens. I'm going to share my screen with you here. So, actually, I'm going to get rid of Tom's message here. Present, share screen, and an entire screen of this. All right, this is my my football manager. That's my entire career. This is where I'm up to now. Oh, you can see my mouse. I'm going to make it a little bit bigger for the people at home and on the bus. So that's my tier 9. At the moment, I'm in tier 8, and my God, is it getting hard. Is all the, like, 106 goals, 131 goals, first to second. Hey, he scored 131 goals and come second. Anyway, that's all my season's done together. And Dan Stevens with all the top goal scorer, that's just league goals. And I thought, I wonder how many goals he is. Because when he scored a goal, it come up, that's his 500th goal. So I went and added it all up. Every season, I've done the tier 20 goals, friendly goals, billy, 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 bong, go down to the bottom. And he has scored 786 goals in 571 games for me.
Not bad,
that's not bad.
That's not a bad turnaround.
I'm going to see if I can get him to 1,000. He's 31 years old. Hopefully, I'm going to get the boy to 1,000.
Possible.
I'm getting to the stage now where players that have been with me from tier 17-ish, they're now going, oh, hello, sir. You're in tier 8. I'd like an improved contract. And if I don't get an improved contract, I'm going to be let everyone shout. And so I'll just put them straight in the under 18s and leave them there.
Like it.
And then I'll use the
editor
and terminate their contract.
Nice.
Because when you're playing at lower league levels like that, none of them are on contracts anyway. So I don't go, I don't ask. I'll just terminate it.
Yep.
But when I actually buy players and then proper contracts, I won't use the terminate contract thing in the editor. Where are we up to?
I have no idea.
Such a rebel, says Drago. Peter says, had 25 games as the only reserve. Foot Gaming, Danny, PS5 Pro is due to drop this winter and the scalpers are getting ready to buy them all, which will make it difficult for the average consumer to buy one. I have got I've got Xbox One, which I actually bought, which is mine. I've got two Xbox 360s, an Elite and a Standard, that were mine. And I've got a Wii and a Dreamcast of mine. Then I've got every other console you can think of that I've bought and just sitting there. I've got a GameCube. I've got a PlayStation 1, 2, 3. Oh, No, I sold my 3 and then I bought another one. I got my brother's off him because I bought him a PlayStation 3 and he never used it, so he gave it back to me to sell. But my one I had the, was it called the Emotion Chip in the PS3, so it could play PS1 and PS2 games. So I ended up selling that for about 260 quid or something like that. Amazing amount of money.
I haven't bothered with a console since 2015 when I bought my PC, so
I just, the only thing, the reason I keep my consoles for Forza. Drago says, were they even that many reserves games back in the day, though? Yeah. I mean, you look, I mean, Peter's from the 70s, but you look in the early 80s when I look at the, I get the programs, and I look at the program. If anyone wants to know about, Hente would know about this, Mark and Andy, they have got a website, Arsenal History, and they have scanned in all the programs from every year, all the yearbooks from every year. And there's one year that there is no, they didn't make an Arsenal yearbook. They've made their own Arsenal yearbook. I'm not sure if they published it. They sent me the thing of it. I said, don't give it to anybody. They got a website where it tells you every single season, every single game, player, result, even the friendlies. And yes, I've been on there and had a look at like one season you'd have Kevin Campbell would have played 60 games for the under-18s and the Avon Combination League. So, yeah, that was in the mid-early 80s. Him and Hillier and all that lot played. They could do 60, 70, 80 games a season. I think Kevin Campbell one season scored 51 goals all competitions. And as Dave Hillier says, I set up most of them.
Nice.
I've actually, when I find players in FM23 that have not been of a club before when they're 15 or 16, I sign them and then I change their names. So I've now got Ian Wright, Paul Merson, David O'Leary and Kevin Campbell. And they're all, some of them are pretty good, but they're all 16. Oh, pardon, Moop. Peter Little says, playing against the best footballer I came across was Colin Bell of Man City. Then at Dunstable Town as a reserve with George Best, Jeff Astle, Barry Fry. I met Barry Fry twice. I was going around Huntingdon Ring Road. He was driving around in his Mercedes convertible. I shouted out the window, "Oi, Fry, I told you to clean that and bring it straight back."
Nice, nice.
And then I met him.
Did he laugh at least?
I was hammering past him in my Mercedes, not convertible. So right. He probably just heard,
yeah, that's probably what he heard.
And I met him in the lift at the 2001 FA Cup final and got in the lift and I went, "Barry, if I know you were coming, I'd have got a lift," because Peterborough was only 15 minutes away. He just looked at me and smiled. He probably thought, this fucking dipshit. Barry Fry and Mr. Cheeseman, I think that's who used to own, was it Mr. Cheeseman I used to barn it? A long story on the transfers. Oh, no, was it that Barry, was it Bedford Town that Barry Fry used to play for and manage? But that's why I support Barnet, because of Barry Fry and Gary Bull and all that lot that were there. Great days with the Barnet. Now they're moving again. They sold Underhill and bought the Beeswax Stadium.
Yeah, are they moving again?
Yeah, they're moving because that's in Enfield. They're moving back to... Barnet, hopefully. Clent House, I think the chairman is, because none of the fans like the fact that the new stadium is in fucking Enfield.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's a nice little area, but it's too far.
It's a nightmare getting to Barnet and fucking parking.
Right, what images have we got, Danny? What stuff have we got to talk about? Let's have a look at some topics.
Indeed. We have got we've done AirPod Albert, right? Delete that. The next one is, you put this in.
Yeah, there's another one I put in. Then. Newcastle might have to sell Alexander Isak in summer to comply with FFP regulations, with long-term admirers Arsenal a possible destination. Obviously, this is all just conjecture and rumour, but it does open an interesting conversation about whether we would go back in for someone like Alexander Isak. It'll probably be too expensive. Whether the FFP regulations kick in end of this summer or something like that, because I know they're going to be moving around how the FFP works. I think they're probably going to be able to come in play just before City and Chelsea get into real problems. But if in a dream world, would I take him? Of course. However, he has been injury prone this season. He's been out of quite a number of games for Newcastle, going missing in certain games as well. Yeah. However, for the right money, it could be a conversation that could be started, that's for sure. But I don't think any more than like 50 million. I'm not willing to go more than 50 million for him.
Yeah, I remember when he was playing in Spain, and I said, "Would you have him?" And I said, "No, he's always injured."
Yeah, and well, his injuries haven't got any better. His injuries haven't got any better. And he's going to, you know, the Premier League is one of the most difficult leagues to play in. And don't get me wrong, he's got a great ability. You know, he reminds me of Thierry Henry coming on in on the left and cutting inside. Yeah. He's got great ability on the ball. But you know, if you said to me, would you sign a striker that played the same amount of games as Thomas Partey or something like that? I'd be like, no, you're good. Thanks. We need a guy who can play week in, week out. So there's another guy that will come up in a moment in one of the images that I am very intrigued about. And I love his story, but we'll talk about that in a moment.
There you go.
Oh, there we go then. Gyökeres, the man who was flirting around Coventry, Brighton, coming from Sweden. And he got himself a move after a really fantastic display at Coventry, got himself a move to Sporting Lisbon. Here he is with the Portuguese beer Superboc. It's pretty much the advertisement on every single Portuguese football shirt, apart from Firenze, actually, which is the shirt I've got upstairs. As you can see, he's a little bit on fire at the moment. It's taken him a while to kind of get going, but the fact that he's got the pedigree to be working in the lower leagues of the English tier, of playing in the Championship and stuff, he looks very, very good, and he's dominating in the Champions League. And
For a Portuguese team since, God, I can't even remember the last time there was one.
Yeah, he looks absolutely brilliant. His numbers speak for themselves. I think he's got £100 million buyout clause, which is completely absurd. But you know, I would be more interested in signing Gyökeres over Alexander Isak. I say this because Gyökeres is 6'2". He's got that powerhouse ability about him, but he's also got the ability to be able to get assists, not only scoring goals as well. So I would lean more towards Gyökeres, but that's just my opinion.
I think it's so hard in that country. So you can score a fortune in that. I mean, look at Fabio Vieira at Firm 2 years ago, the most number of assists in that league. And then he's come to us and he's done virtually nothing. It's easy to look great in that league.
The reason why I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt is because he's done it in the Championship. And I know that's the Championship and not the Premier League, but he's proven himself in English football and probably one of the more difficult leagues in English football, the Championship. It's a lot of football. Every single Tuesday and Saturday, they're playing football week in, week out. Well, twice a week, basically. And they're getting pummeled left, right and centre. So he's got the pedigree. So I'd be interested. I'm not saying pay £100 million for him. But I would be intrigued by him. That's for sure. And it looks like he's one of the prospects that Arsenal are looking at. So we'll see what happens.
Because there has to be somebody to come in, I would think. You can't rely on...
Eddie.
The German.
Havertz.
Yeah, I'm saying that as I'm finding a picture.
No, that's all right. You know, I love Kai Havertz. You know me, I'm a big, massive, huge fan of Kai Havertz. But we need ourselves someone that can play in the games that that Kai Havertz is not going to be the correct person to play in the game for. So.
Yes. Peter says, yes, London combination, South East Counties, Midland combination, Northern Reserve combination, finished up in the Southern League and retired in 1976. It's weird because unlike now, you will regularly get very famous players retiring and then going and playing in the lower leagues, like George Best did it and Jimmy Greaves did it for, I think he was at Barnet and a few other places, world-class players. Yeah. That are now in their late 30s, early 40s, would go and play in non-league, but now you'll get hardly any of that. The closest you'll get to that at the moment is that bloke who was at Liverpool, England international, striker, long black hair, and he's playing, I think he's playing at Reading. They're probably going to end up in the fourth tier of English football next season.
Carroll.
That's it.
Andy Carroll.
West Ham,
I liked. He was decent at Newcastle, wasn't he? That's
injury prone, like
30 million. Agreed. He got a £30 million move to Liverpool.
Yeah, that's funny. Pete says he thinks that Arsenal will go for Ferguson at Brighton. Too young, isn't he?
No, I like Ferguson, but he's been invisible all season for Brighton.
Irish kid they had a couple of years ago come on the scene, scored a few goals. Now he's out on loan to a Championship side.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Ferguson hasn't progressed like I thought he would.
Drugs is black, blasphemy down here, waka waka. Oh, I like Havertz, but I don't see him as a striker. He's not somebody who's going to get you the 40 goals a season.
No. All I'm saying is I love Kai Havertz, but saying is that we need to have an option as a striker to be able to do different things.
There you go, to Saudi. Next thing to talk about is this dickhead. Gareth. How did you describe him?
So there was somebody that described Gareth Southgate on social media as the human version of a ham sandwich.
A Tesco's wafer thin ham sandwich. You can still see bits of bone in it.
Budget version.
Just talking about the flag thing.
Yeah, I'm not. I've never been a Gareth Southgate fan, even when he was playing football. I've never been a Gareth Southgate fan. The guy's a dinosaur, even though he's not very old. He's a dinosaur when it comes to statistics, tactical formations and style of football. We are a shocking outfit, even though England have probably got arguably one of the best lineups in world football right now.
Generational talent
through the wazoo. Yeah. And he's just I'm just so bored of him. He's literally the biggest puppet for the FA I've ever, ever seen. The guy, he sits on the fence so much that he has to take splinters out of his ass on a daily basis. Can't stand the bloke. Never liked him. I never liked him before, even when we got through to the final of was it the Euros?
Yeah.
Wasn't a fan before, wasn't a fan after, wasn't a fan at all. I've never been a fan of him. I can't wait. The rumours, there's another image that's going to cross up. The rumours of him potentially going to Manchester United to take over from Ten Hag. I would absolutely welcome absolute calamity that is about to ensue. Apparently, some of the Man United players are invested in the project that Gareth Southgate could bring to the team. I would laugh my ass off. But when it comes to the little stupid flag on the back of the England shirt, at the end of the day, I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, it's just a football shirt. It's like, well, some people live and breathe football. And when you deface the St. George's Cross, which is arguably one of my favourite flags on the planet, whenever I see it, I get a sense of enormous pride that runs through me, no matter what I'm doing or what I'm feeling. I love to see the St. George's Cross. It's my favourite. And I'm not, this is coming, I'm not a fan of the Union flag. I'm not a fan of it. Love the St. George's Cross. It's a stunning, beautiful piece. And when people do silly things like that to do a political message behind it. And the guy, you put an image up next, the guy that signed it off was leaving his position and going to work for the Six Nations Rugby. So the guy that agreed the controversial changes on the New England kit, he's not working. He's not working for it anymore. He's not doing it anymore. So it's all just a political message. Not a fan of it. I get annoyed at people that people are getting passionate about it. And if anything, that means that we're united under and being... But it's like you're not allowed to be patriotic anymore. You're not allowed to be patriotic anymore. It's not allowed. We live in England. We're not allowed to be patriotic about our own country. I could rant and rave about this all day long, Danny, but I'm peeved at all of this stupid nonsense.
I agree with you. I don't care about England. I don't like Gareth.
Don't get me wrong. Arsenal is up here. Yeah. Arsenal's up here and England's all the way down here. Getting me to root for Harry Kane up top is has always been a difficult task.
That's it. That's why I was thinking about this the other night. The reason going all the way back to a generation in normal life is 25 years. A generation in football is 15 years, roughly. And I've had three generations of players playing for England that I can't stand. And that used to be balanced out by having an England squad full of Arsenal players. And that waned to almost nothing. I think maybe Theo Walcott was the only one back in the day, and maybe a little bit of the Ox. But then
I remember one year, I think it was 2008, Arsenal had no players in the England team, and Joe Cole, who was playing for Chelsea at the time, was rumoured to be going to Arsenal. So all the Arsenal fans were cheering Joe Cole on. He ended up going to Liverpool and turning into a mess. But that was what a palaver. But at the end of the day, you know, Declan Rice is now the England captain. He's going to be captaining England. There he is, the beautiful man himself. He's going to be captaining England against Belgium? Belgium tomorrow night?
Belgium.
Bulgaria or Belgium? No idea. Belgium. I don't. Okay, there we go. So we're going to be playing against those guys, and Declan Rice is going to be leading the lineup. So fair play to the guy. He's been a model professional since he joined the Arsenal. The guy is just a phenomenal football player, isn't he? Incredible. Our auxiliary striker, as we call him. I just can't be bothered with England.
The thing with the badge is say if they did this to the Italy badge, not even England, if you got the Italy badge and changed the colours on it, I'd go, well, I'm not Italian. I don't support the Italian team. I have no interest in it. But why did you do it? You would know.
It's a playful take.
You look at it and you go, is it going to annoy people or is it not going to annoy people?
All it's going to do. Yeah. Doing things like that. The thing is, the people that like it or the people that are supporting it or saying don't worry about it are the same people that don't watch football, don't have a clue about England national team, have no idea about who the manager is or anything like that, have got no concept of football in any regard, but the thing is, we're making these we're releasing these playful takes for people that don't watch the game, and the people that do watch the game are like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Absolute nonsense. Harvey Elliott hides England flag on debut of controversial new kit. Yeah, so he popped his collar like Eric Cantona to hide.
Picture of him wearing a club shirt with collars to see if he Cantona'd it. So if he's doing it here and he does it at his club, then it just means that's what he prefers.
Yeah, I've heard rumours that that's what he has done in the past. So whether that would be the case or not, but then he hasn't publicly said anything out, you know, he's going to have social media PR company. He's not publicly said in that he's not disavowed these claims or anything like that, has he? So we'll see what happens, I guess. But if it is for the sake of that, then fair play to the kid. But if not, then whatever.
But you don't fuck with a country's flag. You don't touch it. You don't do anything with it. And also, I don't want a flag on the back of my neck on my shirt. Stupid place to put it. Don't have it. Now, if you want to mess around with the England badge and have the three lions in different colours, sure, that might look nice. Have a green one and a pink one. I mean, I love sparkly unicorns. People are always buying me unicorns. In fact, this is how much I love unicorns. People may well think it's a little... Come here, you furry little fuck. Where are you? I've got this on the side of my chair. It's a... hold on. Go full screen. Ta-da! I carry that around on my chair. Sean bought me. It's got magnetic hands, so I clasp the hands together and put it on my chair. I've got a unicorn umbrella, a see-through unicorn umbrella. Over in the corner, I've got about 20 furry, fluffy animals and unicorns and little piglets and all that. People buy them for me because I like them. So I have nothing against slightly... Can you use the gay word anymore? I don't know. I'm a child from the 70s. Whatever the modern version of things looking a little bit gay... I love it. I'm looking for a bucket hat, and I want it in black and pink cowl pattern. Make it soft to the touch felt coloured, black and purple camo on it with cat ears coming out the top of it. So I'm no stranger to all these weird and lovely colours. I think they're fantastic, but I don't want it. I don't want you to get the England kit and fuck around with it. And put that on the back of it. First of all, don't have it on the collar. Second of all, if you do, keep the England colours. And then, so I asked on Twitter, are they doing it with anyone else? Someone sent me this. Well, all they've done on there is the middle bit on the Brazil flag is meant to be yellow there and yellow around the outside. That is still the Brazil flag thing, right? That's on the away shirt. That on the back, it's Nike as well.
Same colours.
It's just stupid. Don't like it.
The other thing, Danny, is the people that like it or don't really care about it are not very patriotic. They don't like their own country. They've got a lot of guilt as well about themselves and their heritage.
Our very own Martin Ødegaard.
There he is, the man.
Norway one. But that's not the Norway flag. That is the Norway FA crest. The Norway flag is rectangle. It's got white and with a blue cross in it. So that is, they'd have played around with the national team. The Norwegian FA thing looks a bit stupid. I don't know why you've done it, but fair enough. I don't like the badge being in the middle of the chest either. The badge should always be on the left-hand side above your heart. But again, kits are just a general or a shambles. Let's go and see what the people in the chat are saying. There's 10 comments. Hente says, I am Finnish, Arsenal supporter with zero interest in international football, yet I'm angry that Gareth Southgate is managing England. Fair enough. Russ Morgan, St. George's flag titillates me too. I do not like the Union flag.
No, I don't like the Union flag.
Or if I'm on a boat, I don't like the Union Jack. I don't like it. Sure.
A lot of people don't understand the difference between the two. They always go, Union Jack. No, you're not on sea. No. You're fine. Yeah. But the St. George's flag, when I see it, it gets me going.
Although I do not own a single St. George's flag, and I never would own a single St. George's flag. I've got nowhere to put it. I'm not interested in it. I love flags. You can randomly put up any flag from any one of the 201 countries in the world, and I have got a 95% chance of getting it right, and this amazes people. Just no flags. Drago, who is the deep thinker of the ABW chat, what's the message behind it? Deke, what do you reckon? While I sit here and I stroke the purple and pink.
Well, they've connected the colour scheme into bisexuality.
No, they haven't. They've done it for my unicorn.
There's connections behind sexuality and stuff like that. But regardless what the message behind it or the reason for it, don't mess with a country's flag. Just don't mess with it. And if you're going to mess with it, at least keep it the same colours or at least the same idea of it. It's not like it's two different colours or one different colour. It's got loads of different colours running through it. So, you know, there's lots of ideas behind what it could potentially be. Whether we'll know or not remains to be seen. The FA have declined to reject it. So they're like, oh, all of our fans of football are not fans of it. Well, fuck them. So that's nice to know that they don't care. So it is what it is. It is what it is.
Fair enough. I'm just trying to look for something else that I now can't find. Sai is there from sunny US of A. Drago says, God forbid, not us. Patrick says, let him rest. I'm not sure who. And Peter Little says, cannot remember the year, but 1935 we had 7 players. Yeah, that's the record for any club to have the most number of players, and the game was played at Highbury. Hente will know all of this. Interesting fact, the most number of players from one club to start for an England game was 7. England v might have been Italy, and I think we got beaten. And all that rainbow nonsense, man. And I like the gays. I have a lot of time for the gays. In fact, I will often tweet support for the gays. The first half of the gays, the second half of the alphabet, bullshit. And now there's a movement going on where the LGB is trying to delete itself,
They've been trying to do that for years.
And so there you go. The first three, woo-ha, let's go. The last of it, go fucking get therapy. You're just fucking attention seeking. Oh dear, fruitcakes, bless them. And it's trendy.
What's our next image, Danny?
Right, we are up to brand, and then sorry, done that. What's this one? Oh yes.
Arsenal are monitoring Morgan Gibbs-White as Nottingham Forest may consider selling the 23-year-old to balance their books.
They are
books.
Fucked, aren't they?
Yeah, big time fucked. A bit like Chelsea are going to have a fire sale in the summer. Nottingham Forest are going to have to do something very similar. Hudson-Odoi is another. Elenga is another. These are a few decent players that are playing for Nottingham Forest at the moment. But for me, I really like Morgan Gibbs-White. However, where would he play? Would he play as that left eight? That's the only spot that he could play in. Could he play in the left eight? That's the question. He's not gonna wiggle out Martinelli out on the left, is he? So he's gonna have to play as the left eight. But I don't know. It depends on how much they're willing to let him go for at the end of the day. But I really like Morgan Gibbs-White. He's probably one of my favourite players playing for Nottingham Forest. I think he's a really decent player. He's got great ability on him. He's English, which also helps for the numbers to get homegrown players in. So I wouldn't be adverse to see him in an Arsenal shirt. However, it all depends on the price. But yeah, it's probably never going to happen. But I'm intrigued to see the questions being asked.
It depends whether Forest go down or not. It cost them $25 million 2 seasons ago. He's won the under-17 World Cup. He won the under-21 European Championships with Smith Rowe and Eddie Nketiah and all of that lot.
That's it. You know, we've got Emil Smith Rowe at the club. They play a very similar game. No, sure. They play a very similar game. So if we're getting rid of Emil Smith Rowe, which is probably going to happen, do we then sign Morgan Gibbs-White? But then I really like Morgan.
Yeah, I personally wouldn't bother, but he is a very good player. You see him playing for England. It's like the ones Chelsea have got, a couple of lads there. Conor McGregor? No.
Conor Gallagher.
Gallagher, there you go. One's a UFC fighter and the other one's a footballer. So, sure.
Did you see Conor McGregor's post-interview with Jake Gyllenhaal for Roadhouse, the new film, the new UFC film?
Didn't he say acting's harder than UFC?
No, I didn't hear about that, but I did see him absolutely off his tits on druggy wuggies.
Was he? Yes, that sounds like him.
Twitching constantly in an interview, just going like all the way through it. It was bad. It was bad to the point where Jake Gyllenhaal didn't know what to do or where to look. It was bad. He obviously likes his druggy wuggies, so there we go.
Does. I mean, they are great. Don't do drugs, kids. No, I don't do any. Drago says, I don't see the Morgan Gibbs-White thing happening, and he's been a bit cheeky. Haven't you got enough Irish lads playing for you? What does that mean? For England? Well, Rice played for... He's not Irish, is he? He played for Ireland under-21s, was it?
Yes.
Or did he actually play for Ireland, and then it was in a friendly, so it didn't count? Let's have a look, shall we? Yeah, because that happens quite often. I always remember John Fashanu, wonderful player. He was from...
He played for Republic of Ireland 3 times, the proper team. And then he switched in 2019.
All friendlies. John Fashion, who did that, so he couldn't play for England, although he was offered to play for England. I think he played one. Him and his brother were adopted, Justin Fashion, who, that's a very, very sad and interesting story. Let's go and look up the Justin Fashanu story. They were adopted, brought to England, I think, and then they had the chance to play for England. But he said, I've already played for my country of birth. Can't remember which African country it was, but lovely bloke. Awooga, awooga. There you go. That's
what I'm looking at the wiki. There's no reason as to why he switched to England. He just did. So, there we go. Yeah. It's his home country at the end of the day.
You would, wouldn't you?
So, his home country. I've got Irish heritage. I can get Irish passport, but...
I'm getting Irish citizenship. I've now got my English, my British driving license and passport updated, and now I'm going to go. Me and Sean are going to get Irish citizenship, because then we can go to Europe and leave this fucking country behind. Good fucking riddance, because I'm not converting, and it will be the law soon. Elanga instead of Saka, Martinelli back up. Bulgarian goon, Rice, Grealish, Bellingham.
All three of those lads were born in England.
At what point did the Grealish and Bellingham play for Ireland youths?
I have no idea. Let's have a look.
Hente says, last Irish player for the Arsenal was Graham Barrett in 2000.
Under 21s for Grealish in Ireland, and Bellingham didn't once play for Ireland, just says under 15s for England. So
his dad's a policeman. That's why him and his brother are such.
Are you thinking about Job? Are you thinking about Job Bellingham? Because he's the other Bellingham, isn't he? So if you're thinking about Job, no, Job was under 16 England. So no, I don't know. It wasn't Jude or Job.
Do you remember Graham Barrett, striker at Arsenal?
No.
There was one. Oh, it was another young English striker in Arsenal at that time called Paul Shaw. Ended up going to Sheffield United, and Sheffield United had a thing with Ferenc Vakrovos in Hungary. I can't say that word. The home of Puskás. and they had a partnership there. So he ended up going and playing for the team I just said that I've forgotten already.
The team you can't pronounce.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul Shaw. And then he went off to America. But Graham Barrett, decent player. And we've had quite a few decent young ones that whole load of players that scored lots of goals, as Hente knows, for the under 23, 21, 18, the Avon combination, loads of them. There you go. Drago's put it. Ferencváros. And Russ says, isn't Declan Rice Irish? Come on. Easy, Tiger.
He was born in Kingston upon Thames.
Not very Irish. If anything, that's more Jamaican than English, Irish.
Speaking of Jamaican, John Barnes.
Another legendary player.
Played for
Imagine
England,
John Barnes
in
playing in Premier League football now.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. He was really singing his song.
Oh,
man, he was the epitome of everything that was cool about England. I don't know. I saw it. And maybe it's a
Wales Wally. I have a parrot on his... Why has he got glasses on?
I don't know. I think it looks good. I didn't do it. Don't blame me. Don't blame the messenger. I just think I saw it and liked it. Then I also saw this and liked this.
Scored in a 2-0 victory over France, where Florian Wirtz, who plays for Bayer Leverkusen, who's 20 years old, scored against France within 8 seconds the other night, guys. If you haven't seen the goal, I would go and see the goal. He looks like a proper little player, that Wirtz for Bayer Leverkusen, proper little player. Comes on for Germany, scores a goal against France within 8 minutes. Eight seconds. Pretty damn good. But yeah, Havertz got himself a goal as well, and Germany finished the game out 2-0 against France. You know, it's nice to see Havertz still scoring.
This is my reimagination of the Welsh flag. I hope it doesn't offend anybody.
It's a playful take, Danny. It's a playful take.
There's the stats thing that you wanted. It's at the bottom of the list of all my stats.
Yeah, somebody asked for me to get the XG stats on that. So we've got the XG stats and we've got it up on the screen now. And I am a big fan of XG. Big fan. I love the fact that it's been added to Football Manager as well. I do love a stat. And what a beautiful sight we are seeing with Arsenal all the way at the very, very top with the highest goal difference in the Premier League thus far. It's also, we'll give a nice little mention to Manchester United there in between Nottingham Forest and West Ham. What a quality season they are having themselves, eh? Good times. Arsenal, City and Liverpool just running away with the league so far, and that's going to be... It's been a minute, hasn't it, Danny, since we've had a three-horse race towards the end of the Premier League. One that reminds me the closest is probably 2018, when it was Leicester, Arsenal and Tottenham. I think that was probably...
2016.
Was that 2016? Apologies.
15-16,
know me with numbers.
He knows numbers. He knows all the numbers.
I know all the numbers. I can only count to 10, though, because that's how many fingers I have. So, I think that's the last time. I can't think of any other times when it's been a three-horse race towards the end of the Prem. If anybody else has any big moments then you can think of between three teams, let me know.
Drago says, Erik ten Hag deserves a new contract. He certainly does.
No, I see as much as he's doing a bad job, it means that Southgate leaves England alone. So I would rather that. Southgate's going to do rubbish at United. He's rubbish anywhere he goes, he'd be rubbish.
Sai says, don't believe in XG. It's all fictional. And our very own Mr. Wilson, who now owns a Honda. Want to come down from an Audi. Sad times, bro. I still don't understand XG or how they work it out. Oh, Nick, when you're watching the football and you go, oh, that should have been a goal. That's XG. Not too complicated.
That's very well put, Danny.
Patrick Carlson puts Tottenham Highliners. Yes. Another picture we've got. I can get rid of my my reimagination of the Welsh flag. This is why we hate Southgate. Friendly. You don't need Pickford in goal. You don't need Chilwell, Maguire, Stones and Walker at the back. You don't need Rice and Gallagher in midfield. You don't need Bellingham, Foden. So you don't need any of them players. It's a friendly. A friendly is your chance to give new players an opportunity. Like Gordon, Dale Gordon, Norwich legend on the left-hand side, with Ollie Watkins up front. There you go. They're the only two players in this formation, maybe Gallagher a little bit, Kevin Gallagher, Scotland international. They're the only players that should have been starting in that game. All these are bringing on Rashford. What are you going to learn by bringing on Rashford? Should have started the game with Bowen on one
You're
side.
Going to learn that he's still rubbish.
He's just, yeah. It's just absolute bullshit. And why does he do this? This is why people say he is a yes man, because the FA say to him, Gareth, we're playing at Wembley, and if we don't play a full strength side, then all the fans aren't going to come, are they? So play the full strength time. Because Kevin Keegan and Terry Venables would have gone, fuck off. I'll play whoever the fuck I want to play, which is why they didn't last long as England managers, because they were their own people. And Gareth go, certainly, it's almost like in the old days when the England team was picked by committee. Gareth does as Gareth is told. And to
He's
play,
so boring. He's
you've learned
boring
nothing. Nothing. How are you going to learn? Look, who was legendary player who would be average for his club team but would be magnificent for England? It's the John Barnes effect in reverse. Just John Barnes was magnificent for his club, and other than that, Brazil goal against Brazil was mainly rubbish for England. But again, England were covered in shit players back then. But there must have been some player who was, when he plays international football, you go, oh, that's a whole new player. You're not going to see that under Southgate, because he's not going to give these players a chance. And we see against Belgium, a nothing game, it's a friendly. Those same players will be starting. We know Tony's starting up front, Luca Toni. In Italy, Italian international, wonderful player, coming out of retirement for one last game. And that's a nice thing to see. But Watkins, I mean, that whole game, Watkins didn't get a single shot on target. Ouch.
I didn't watch it. Didn't watch it.
Ah, nor did I. Fuck watching it. Yeah. We have also got this. I saw someone tweet this. It is a Real Madrid back of shirts. Number 9, Endrick, football manager legend. Number 10, yeah. Mbappe. Number 7, Vinicius Jr. Number 5, Bellingham. And number 11, Rodrygo. I mean, that's not bad.
Rodrygo.
And oh. That's not a bad set of players, is it? And I looked at that.
No, it's definitely, we're definitely, if Mbappe does eventually go to Real Madrid like it's looking like he will, This will probably be the first time in a while that we are seeing Galacticos return.
Galacticos version 3.
So seeing that lineup is terrifying. Incredible. Every single one of those players has got high pedigree. I like every single one of those players. So it's gonna be terrifying. It's gonna be terrifying if Mbappe does go there. But then saying that though, Danny, Ivan Toni. He's a big fan. He really wants to go around Madrid.
What, on holiday?
I can't believe, yes. I can't, that would make more sense. I can't believe in an interview, Ivan Toni mentioned and muttered the words, he would really love to move to Real Madrid. He's an absolute melon. Absolute melon. Arsenal were interested in him. Started to waver on him with regards to his personality and how he was coming across when he was just coming back from his ban. Arsenal didn't really like the cut of his jib, as they call it. And in the game where we played him and he was throwing himself around like a little child, that was kind of like the last nail in the coffin. And the Arsenal hierarchy basically let out rumours and feelers to say that they're no longer interested in Ivan Toni. And that's the reason why he's going on a bit of a rant now, once again, bad-mouthing Brentford like he's done about a million times before. The guy bad-mouths Brentford left, right, and centre. He's an embarrassment with regards to his conductive, how he conducts himself with football. But yeah, it's probably going to turn up to be that no one's going to be interested in. Brentford are going to want a lot of money. He's going to be pushing for elite to leave. He'll probably hand in a transfer request. But Brentford will stay firm. And they won't let him go for anything less than 65, 70 million pounds. And no one's going to be willing to pay that sort of money, especially with the way that the deal is going to be constructed, or way that Brentford want the deal to be constructed. It's never going to happen. So he'll probably stay at Brentford.
Nice. Nick Wilson, scumbag. Can somebody time out, Nick, for me? At least I don't own a pair of Ponzi, pair of Skechers, spelt wrong. There's no T in Skechers. Fucking amateur. Sigh. United are due for a big drubbing. They are shit. Drago, so fair to say it won't be coming home this summer. No, no, you could put any current Premier League manager in charge of that England team and you would get better results than you would with that prick in charge. He's snide as well. He's snidey. Waste.
I can't. He's a snake.
Prick.
He's a little wormy snake. Not a fan.
There's certain people on Twitter that are new to the world of being part of the media. They're all bumlicky about him. And these people, when they think the England flag thing is not a problem, they're up Gareth Southgate's bum. Nah. Nah. Whatever. People in my child's generation. Nah. Grow up. It looks like a Leeds shirt. Leeds fucking wish. And I picked Leeds to win the, I picked Leeds to win the championship. And I had egg all over my face at Christmas when Leicester are 1 million points clear. Now Leeds are catching them. And Leeds beat them. Ooh. Drago, would be hilarious if nobody wants Tony come the summer. As Deke just said. Pictures, what else have we got? That's it. What else do we want to talk about? Demsec, oh geez, what have I done there? There we go. Demsec did ask me about my medication. For people who don't know, the NHS and their infinite wisdom have gone, here, have a drug for 5 years. £1.2 million. Fuck all the people with cancer. They could probably do with it. But no version, not my version, but help. But no, this just proves that NICE give the money to stuff that you would maybe think could be better spent trying to save someone's life. But it means I can move around again. Look at that. I can move around. I can pick things up. I can move my arms around and I don't have to. And I can do little things like behind me. I have an ottoman with a cat food in. I can now lift the ottoman lid open with my right hand. And I can take out whole scoops of cat food rather than half a scoop. I can now type on the keyboard with both hands at the same time again, like I used to be about 3 years ago. But as Deke said at the beginning of the show, it has three downsides: diarrhea, puking, and nausea. I can cope with two of them. But being a person who is sat down since 1993, I don't want diarrhea. Because you can't just go, like Sian will go, Sian poos three times a day because she's an animal. I don't want to, she can go, oh, going for a poo, in, pants down, pants up, done. Maybe a bit of toilet paper action in between. I don't know. Like I said, she's feral. And that's a 5-minute job. I can't do that. I have to 10 minutes to get ready to go and, you know, leave a package. And then I have to be 101% sure that I don't need to go again, because when the second lot comes, you ain't got 10 minutes. You don't get any warning. It's now, right now. And so I have to sit there and I have to wait and I have to wait. And then I have to go, am I sure? And I have to wait. So the one thing this shouldn't do for people in chairs is go, you're going to get shitty body. No, I don't want, no. Headaches, nausea, vomiting all day long. I don't care about that. Piles. Corns, athlete's feet, ear fall off, no problem. But the one fucking thing that you would say, please, when you're designing this, what's the one thing I don't want? You've got it. But it's working. I have a little list of all the things that I can now do that I couldn't do 6 months ago, a year ago, 2-3 years ago. So I had an empty bottle that I was a talc bottle or something. I can't remember what it was. And for whenever I want to put it on the bed, when I'm going to talc the bed, because I do like talc, I'm a gentleman who likes talc, I used to get it and try and get it and throw it, and I couldn't throw it. Now I can get it, and I can launch it like that onto my bed. And that's just from 3 months' work for this shit. And it didn't do anything for the first month, apart from make me fucking ill. So there you go, Demsec. That is, that's it. So 3 months in. It's given me the ability to do stuff that I stopped being able to do up to 3 or 4 years ago. And I noticed that I had some, because I'm a good recycler, I get my cans of Monster and I leave it in the kitchen next to where I put the cat food. I've got a tin of cat food, like a tin of soup. And when I'm finished with the tin of cat food, I put the lid back in there with the ring pull sitting up. I get the can of Monster, put it in there upside down and wiggle it so the thing goes in there. And it's nice and compact, Deke, nice and compact. And then normally I have to turn around and try and put it in the recycling cupboard. And I can't always do it. Sometimes I drop it. The other night, got it, put it behind me, down behind me, and on the shelf in the recycle cupboard. There you go. 1.2 million means I can now reach behind me and put things in a cupboard. Thank you very much. That's the gist of it.
I'm glad you've been able to put a price on it, so that's good.
Where are we up to? Broncoin VA. Picture of him and his big dog there. Looks like a Doberman or Rottweiler or something bitey. Hello. Round of applause from Hente. Thank you very much. Drago, bit graphic, Dan. Bit graphic. You want to see the WhatsApp between me and Sean and her mum. She calls it the sperm donor and the incubator group. She named it, not me. Russ says now or never. Hente says, Danny might be a bit annoying for a start, but when you get to know him, he's a top, very honest lad. Who's that?
You. He's saying that you might be annoying for a start. Yeah. But when you get to know him, you're a top. Oh,
annoying
lad.
All the way through. It doesn't get any better. You don't get used to it. You just get more tolerant to it. Peter Little says, when you're 69, real arthritis problems, pooing is the fine. It is fine. It's standing up again. So, Danny, you have my total sympathy. I also have arthritis in my neck from a taxi. And I've got it in my right arm, right elbow. And I think I've got it somewhere in my back. But, yeah, the meat diet. If you've got arthritis, just do it. Just try a carnivore diet, which means you only eat meat, no carbs, no sugar, and you're allowed hard cheese. Do that for a month, Peter, and I guarantee you, you'll go, fuck, I used to take 2 naproxen a day. I now take none. No omeprazole, no naproxen, no hydroxyoxyolin, not the COVID one, the normal one. I don't take any. And I've had 10 years of taking them, all because I have no inflammatory food in my body. Drago says, Dan can never be annoying. Don't call me Dan, but... cheers, Drago. What else have we got to talk about, Deke? We've done an hour and 26 minutes, mostly.
I'll finish with apparently Didier Deschamps, the French manager.
What a dickhead. Yeah, well, you
know. He said that William Saliba is having a great season, but he's also doing things that he doesn't like very much.
Well, Deschamps is out of a job soon because France are shit.
He's such a muppet.
Expand on that at all?
No, I've not seen anything more, but I like the fact that Saka and Gabriel have returned early. Lovely. That's nice. That's good to see. No messing about. Just let Saliba come back then. Fuck yourself. Fuck yourself then, Didier. Just let him come back then. He's easily been one of the best centre backs in world football right now.
Yeah.
Easily one of the best centre backs in world football right now. So
150 million if Real Madrid want him.
Yep. So, you know, he's playing for one of the best teams in the world right now. And he's playing in the best defense he's playing in probably one of the best defenses in the league, in the world right now as well. Conceding the least amount of goals. His performances have been absolutely outstanding. Easily the reason why we didn't go on and win the league last season because of the injury that we sustained in the Europa League tie that we shouldn't have played him in. You know, hindsight and all that. But the guy is absolutely pivotal to the success that Arsenal is generating over the last few years. So for Didier Deschamps to say that says a lot about the fact that he's also a dinosaur and plays very old-fashioned football.
Yep, and there has been a history of him not picking the best French players because he is a prick. He was a prick as a player and he's a prick as a manager. Pete puts here, I've tried it and still no on the proxen every day. But that might be the alcohol painkillers. See this? CBD oil. Just go to a website called, totally legal. What is it called? I've got it in my shirt. It is called simply, then the minus sign, cbd.co.uk. I get the 1,000 one. It's a black label. It says 1,000 on it. A little bottle will cost you 80 quid. That will last you 2 months. 5 drops on your tongue. Once a day, wonders. That and the carnivore diet has virtually gotten rid of my arthritis. And I heard Jordan Peterson and his daughter, and I heard loads of other people talk about the carnivore diet and gets rid of arthritis, and I thought, bullshit. That ain't going to happen. And for the first month, didn't really notice a difference. But now, for me not to be on any naproxen and no painkiller, I took a painkiller to stop me having the shits. But, yeah, no painkillers, no nothing. I was even on methotrexate for arthritis. The injections, none of it. Don't need any of it now. Teeny little bit stiff every now, Deke. But there again, I am 53. Going to be a little bit stiff in all the wrong places. So it's just something you have to put up with. Drago says Carpenter is fuming right now. Wouldn't know. Doesn't talk to any of us. Too busy trying to be a hipster on his own, doing these silly little runs. Look at me, I'm running. All right. All right. Fucking Forrest Griffin. Forrest Walker. Griffin Forrest. Forrest Whitaker. What's his name? Forrest Gump. He's Chris just a.
I'm trying to figure out who the. Forrest Gump running.
Chris right. is just a footballing Forrest Gump. Look at me, I'm running. You're all right, I can't run. See me bothered? But I can now type across the whole of the keyboard with my left hand whenever I want to, whereas before I couldn't. Nice. So thank you very much, Nice.
No, it's Nahurs. Nahurs.
Is it Nahurs? It's not, it's NICE.
Oh. Oh, I thought you were talking about NHS.
I know, NIC are the people that approve drugs.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, and it's an American drug. And when I said to the people, what does it do? They said, we don't know. They're not telling us, but they said it should help you. Shit, so that's all we know. Well, thank you. I almost didn't take it. Draco refers to Chris as Legump. Peter, if you look in the top right-hand corner of your screen, we have a little avatar. At the moment, it is nothing. We've got Dennis Bergkamp. We've got Mr. Fife, used to be part of the pod. Jeff used to be part of the pod. Simon was part of the pod. Jock and James used to occasionally just... There's our Richard, who is. There's Nick that was in the chat. There's Josh, who is part of the pod. There's Carl, part of our pod, and Ellis. And Femi, and John, and there's me with all my beard. And then you had this urchin. His name's Chris. Very good football talker. Hates English football. Hates English players. Hates English teams. Seems to think he's French. He's not French. He loves French national team. He loves the French La Liga. And all he's bothered about is French football. And he used to be a regular on here. And then he'd go... I'm not feeling up to it. I'm going to go away for a while. And he fucks off for 3 months. And he comes back and goes, this time I'm back. I'm back. I'm doing pods. I'll host the pods because he is a wonderful host. I'm back. I'm doing it. I'll do 2 pods. Oh, no. I can't do it. I don't want to do my running. And then he fucks off again for 3 months. Does this every fucking season. He's done it again this season. So
impersonations.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Grown fucking man. No kids. No, he's got a cat. He's got a job. No responsibilities. I ain't got time for podcasting. I've got to do my hair. Shut up, Chris. But Carl there, haven't seen him on in a while. He's got personal stuff. John there, beautiful bastard. Carl is actually 8'8". He's a mountain, lovely bloke. I met him. There's John, another one you haven't seen for a while. He'll be back soon, hopefully. Ellis, you haven't seen Ellis in a while. He works for the NHS in A&E in Norwich, and he is busy doing back-to-back 24-hour shifts because the NHS is broken and he cares about people. So there you go. And that's who Chris is. Hope that's explained it. But, yeah, Chris, he's just fucking... You know, when you have a band and you've got the lead singer and they think they're the most important and the rules don't apply to them, they just turn up whenever they want and expect everyone to be on their knees. Yeah, a bit like that. And he won't listen to this. Josh will listen. Carl and John might listen. Ellis will listen if he gets 5 minutes. The rest of them will have a listen. Chris? Nah, you're a knob. I hate you. And I'm going to come to your house and kill you. See, I can say that because he's never going to hear it. And if he is hearing, I didn't mean any of that, Chris. I'm just joking. Just joking. Dragos is a man who loves the French. Hente says, Deke is tired. Think about me in Finland. It's 11 p.m. still being on night watch. Oh, dear.
Danny does nights. He sleeps through the day and stays up through the night. But then I'm always tired, Hente. I've got chronic fatigue, man. I'm always pooped.
I was still awake at 10:30 this morning, and I woke up this afternoon at 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Also, there's another thing with when you're on naproxen. It makes you retain all of the water you've ever drank. And when you stop taking it, I took one last week because I was achy neck. And then it goes, oh, naproxen. Right, withhold all the water. Don't let any of it out. When you stop taking naproxen, you piss every 3 hours, whether you're sleeping or not. And I'm an old man. Pete says, I would love to be on a pod, not intelligent enough. Well, you never know. Of the people that we, I mean, you're 69. Jeff is in his 60s. We go back to this again. This is Jeff is an international man of mystery, so that's his picture. We had Dave Gunaholic. He was about 65. He sadly passed away. And Steve was, I think he was 60. He sadly passed away as well. Yeah, we're not very, don't have much luck with people being on the pods.
Peter, don't think there's a connection between being 60 and joining the pod.
Yeah, you got Raj, who used to be part of the invented ABW, Raj Patel. He turned into a llama. So this is called the Giroux Llama. Raj should actually come back on and do a show, which would be lovely. But yeah, sometimes, Pete, we ask the listeners to come on and have a chat. So all you need to do is have a decent internet connection and be somewhere quiet.
And a camera. And it might work. A microphone.
Drago's been on many times from sunny Bulgaria, hitting us with logic and facts and telling us to stop being silly. You stupid boys!
I like the sound of that. That's good.
Yeah, no, Drago's very good. That's it, Dee. I think I'm going to shut up now. You can end the show because I need to go. It's 9:15 nearly. And yep. I need to go and eat some jelly babies and play Football Manager.
I don't blame you. Thanks to everybody for jumping into this random impromptu episode 2 of Talking Bollocks. It's just us randomly rabbiting on about random stuff. It's obviously still very much connected to football and a little bit about Arsenal, but not really at the same time. It's nothing like the gist of a post or pre-game or even a regular ABW podcast. But it's a chance for us to rant and rave about stuff that we would generally not talk about on a regular Arsenal podcast. So it gives us that avenue. And there's no football at the moment, not until the 31st. So it gives us something to rant about in the meantime. So, but thanks to everyone that jumped in. I really do appreciate it. If you haven't already liked the stream, that would be awesome. Share amongst your friends and also and so forth. But yeah, thanks for everybody jumping in, guys. That's freaking awesome. Freaking awesome. We weren't expecting so many people. So
we're now on TikTok at Birdcamp_Wonderland. Because it is owned by the Chinese and they are devious, devious bastards at the best of times. And if you have TikTok on your phone, they'll look at all your nudie pics. So I don't have TikTok on my phone. I would never have any of that shit on my phone. So I've got the desktop version of it on my PC. It's the beta version. So we've had a few people follow us, like Daniel followed us. And who was the other one? Matt followed us. And Sean, my daughter, followed us. It doesn't let you follow people back. So we have 3 followers and we're following none. So go on your TikTok. And it's the same as the podcast, the...
Danny, you should have it under your name in the stream. That would be super professional, wouldn't it?
Okay. Now that I can type it in, edit name and headline.
It's have a headline, you know, with your TikTok. That'd be nice.
It's not there. It's I keep getting the email address mixed up. And of course, I've put the minus sign rather than the underscore because my keyboard is shit. And I've put Burgie Camp. Fuck's sake. So I've got a silent keyboard with a letterpress of about 1 mil. And so I'm not always sure. There you go. It's in the thing there. You've got the tick and you've got the talk. And you've got the TikToks. @BirdCamp_Wonderland. And yeah, got some things. None of them long. No more than about 30 seconds.
Yeah, people's attention span isn't great.
Pete says he remembers watching George Baker and George Eastham, 2 wonderful strikers for the Arsenal, but can't remember yesterday. Fair enough. And when's the next pod? Don't know. Probably a preview show. Are we playing Saturday or Sunday?
Playing on Sunday.
Preview show Saturday night. Late Saturday night. So with somebody from the Americas. So there you go. Deke, tell everybody to go away.
Go away, everyone. No, I'm joking. We love you all very, very much. We'll see you. I will see you on, hopefully, on the inevitable win that we will have over City on the 31st. That'd be nice. Toodles, guys.
Goodbye.